Take a trip with us to learn about some of your neighbors with this edition of KXCR Conversations. These are neighbors just like you and me, and how their lives are filled with history. KXCR Conversations with you.
Hello and welcome to KXCR Conversations. I'm your host, Larry Bloomfield. Today we have another wonderful call-in guest. Her name is Amy May, and she's from Whitebird Clinic in Eugene. She's a qualified mental health professional, and she's going to give us a little bit of an input on the dying process and dying doulas. So this is something new to me. I knew that there was a process like that for having a baby, but I didn't know that there was the process on the other end when life is coming to the end of term. So this is interesting and hopefully a good topic for everybody to be listening to. Amy, thank you so much for joining us here on KXCR 90.7 FM.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Well, you definitely have an interesting topic to be speaking about. A lot of people sometimes would avoid this particular type of topic with everything they have in them because it's a little bit of a scary time to be talking about in life. It's actually looked at in some cultures as very sacred and all also. So hopefully you can shine a little light in your life on about who you are and how you actually got into that process, and maybe we can get into the actual process itself and what all you have about on it.
Sure thing. Yeah, it's funny. Death has a 100% success rate, yet we often do our utmost best to ignore or deny its existence.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm a clinical social worker, I'm an end-of-life counselor, and I'm a trained death doula. And this means essentially that I work to support people in creating and experiencing the best death possible. To give you a little bit of background on myself, in 2011, my mother, Brenda, died quite suddenly from complications of a blood clot and a subsequent brain hemorrhage. She was 56 years old.
I'm very sorry to hear that.
It was unexpected. It quickly became clear to me that our culture is not talking about death.
Mm-hmm.
We are not adequately planning for it. We don't understand it, and we don't know how to support it.
Yeah, so, that does seem to be something that I would agree with, because you don't hear that kind of topic being talked about very often in circles.
No, we do a lot to avoid it, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So from that experience, I decided that I wanted to, actually, I didn't want to. It is a calling. It was just what I had to do, to become the support person that I needed and didn't have, both before and following my mother's death, to help me process and just better understand what had happened.
Mm-hmm. Now, the accrediting that you have, was all something that was prior to her death?
No, actually, it was after she died, a few years after she died, that I went back to school just to finish my undergrad work. And it was in a class on death and dying with Joyce Davidson, and she had been an end-of-life counselor herself, that I felt the calling. I just heard, this is what I have to do. And so through that, I completed my undergrad work, and she recommended to me to complete my master's in social work. So in 2018, I completed my master's in social work, and then that fall founded the end-of-life counseling program at Whitebird in Eugene. And it wasn't until the fall of 2019 that I became a trained death doula through the International End-of-Life Doula Association, better known as INELDA. And then by this next spring, I hope to have my licensure in clinical social work.
Oh, wow. Well, congratulations on all that. That's really wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah, so as you mentioned, the term death doula is something that's probably new for a lot of folks, but the work is gaining, it's gaining a lot of attention in the field of end-of-life care, and we do, I think, traditionally associate a doula with the birthing experience.
Yeah.
But the work that the death doula is doing is similar in some ways, and seeking to honor the sacred transition from this life to whatever comes next.
Well, it's very interesting because, again, it wasn't something that I had the understanding that there was something like that. And to know that there's a whole organization out there is really wonderful, because that means that it's a process that's actually being used, hopefully, a lot more and all. I definitely do believe that not paying attention to this part of life, because it is an end of life situation, but it's a very important one, whether it's for those who are being left behind in a sense to some degree, and even just for your own mental understanding and all. I'm sure it takes quite a toll on everybody. It's not something, like you said, we really put a lot of thought into, and maybe it should be.
Right. Well, and that's one of the goals of the death doula, is to help transform the dying experience, both for the person who's dying and for their loved ones. And I mean, this transition is going to vary and look different from person to person.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my main goal as a death doula is to hold space, be present, normalize the dying process, and help the individual and their loved ones identify what feels most important at this time.
Now, I'm sure going through schooling and everything, you've learned a little bit about how to manage this and all, but obviously everybody's going to be different. And so you have to look at that in the sense that, you know, how am I to reach this person in a way that is going to be comfortable for them to be able to deal with and all? And that would have to be something, I guess you have to learn a little bit about them and all that.
The work that I do is absolutely client-centered. There are many common issues and needs that arise for any individual going through this process, but the work is about what they need, how their life experience has informed both, primarily, I guess, their dying process.
So you basically are saying that the person's understanding of the dying process is something that you kind of help them out with and all. Now, if they have, there's going to be those who will, you know, be on one end of that spectrum and have a very detailed understanding of maybe what they believe it might be in one means or another. And then there's those who have absolutely no understanding of it, or maybe have never even decided to talk about this at all cost, but they are now there and all. So how do you manage getting started with a topic like this with someone?
Listening, asking questions, being curious, and listening. It's that is really the absolute foundation of this work. As I was mentioning, there are a lot of common concerns that are going to arise, or that might arise, such as understanding what to expect as the body breaks down, or exhaustion of caregivers, worry over planning and preparedness, just making sense of what's happening, or processing big feelings. So where do you start? The services and the support that a death doula will provide are going to depend on how near death an individual is when the doula is brought in. So ideally, we'll be brought in long before a person is actively dying. With weeks or months remaining, a doula can provide more support and meaning-making of the experience, and exploring what death means to the dying person and their loved ones with respect to their particular culture and life experience. So this is going to happen through listening to the dying person's life stories, what they've accomplished, what they regret, identifying any unfinished business or long-lost hopes or dreams that might yet be fulfilled. All of this is integral to the dying person's process, and this information is sought out through, like I said, through curiosity, asking questions, and active listening. So active listening is an important tool that the doula is going to use to create a safe space for the dying person and for their loved ones to explore all the thoughts and feelings without judgment about what's happening. And so the death doula might prompt these conversations with specific questions to dig into the important values, fears, expectations, or needs of the dying person.
Hmm. Very good. Now, if an individual was interested, let's say, in some process that was maybe out of the norm for normal situations where you would probably put the person into a casket and bury them, or maybe even going to cremation or something like that, if their process differed in normality, would that be something that can be brought into it, or is it they have to follow some particular guideline?
No, absolutely. The death doula is working to support, honor, and fulfill the dying person's wishes, however those look. And so that is going to be like a choice for interment. That's going to be part of the conversation. And just to back up a little bit, like as the death doula is working through what's important for that dying person, so concerns or wishes about interment or how they're going to be buried or what's going to happen to their body after they die, that will absolutely be part of the conversation. And then the death doula can help make those arrangements or help explore, provide information. There are a lot of different options out there right now for folks. And depending on where an individual lives, what state, there are different, you know, regulations and laws depending on where you are. But that's something that the death doula would help the person sort through, what feels right for them and what sort of plan. And that would all be part of the planning process. And there are a whole host of things that would go into that, including, let me just step back a second on that too.
Sure.
So part of the planning, and in my opinion, one of the most beneficial services that a death doula is going to provide the dying person is in planning their vigil. So this is the plan of what happens before they die. And essentially the vigil is going to be enacted when the person is actively dying. And so if the person so chooses, participating in the planning of their vigil allows them to explore, discuss, determine how they would like the end of their life to look and to feel to whatever extent is possible. So the steps to designing this time would include thinking through how a person might want symptoms managed as they arise, such as utilizing pain medication or suctioning fluids. We would clarify how they feel about touch. Touch is a gentle yet powerful means of nonverbal communication that can promote comfort and ease fears and reduce pain or discomfort. So it's important to clarify how they feel about that. Would they like their hand held, or are they comfortable with massage? If so, what feels right? I had a client once who her daughter climbed into bed with her as she was actively dying, and they just cuddled there together. And it was such a precious and meaningful time for both of them. But that was something that was important. Other people might, and that's part of the consideration, is who would you like around, to have around you?
Yeah.
Or who would you not want to have around you?
Yeah.
Some people might want to be alone. And that sounds, to me, that's the last thing that I would want, but someone else might want that. And so it's the death doula's role to help figure out what feels important and then to help make that happen. Also, it's going to be like where an individual wants to die. Do they want to stay at home? Sometimes symptoms become really difficult to manage, even with the best and most supportive hospice services. So how do we create that environment where we can pull that off and make that happen? Or are they okay with going into a hospital or a hospice facility? Or there's a lot to be considered there. And then wherever they end up, how do they want that space to feel? Would they like soft lighting or candles? Would they like music playing? There are a number of hospice agencies who have harpists that are on staff or that they can bring in, or I've had conversations with singers who will come in and sing while a person is actively dying to help create a tranquil and peaceful environment. I had a client once who insisted he wanted country music played while he was dying. And so I made that happen.
Nice.
And yeah, I had another client who did not care at all what the environment was like. She was dying, and she had turned inward to the point where none of those outward things were important. So it's about identifying what the person needs and then working to fulfill those.
Wow. Well, you know, with COVID-19 being an issue with everything nowadays, with social distancing and everything, I imagine that plays quite a bit of a havoc when people are interested in having last, you know, minute type thing where everybody's there, or family or whatnot. My personal belief would be that I would want those around me that I love to, you know, send me off in a world of love and all, and it would be an emotional moment. So, but that's definitely something that is not the norm, I think, at the moment. And definitely with COVID being an issue, I could see that playing a little bit of a hard time on everything. So how would you manage something like that, or how does that get resolved at this point?
That's a really good question. COVID is wreaking havoc on the end-of-life process and support services offered pretty much across the board. It's going to depend on the individual and their level of comfort, the family's level of comfort, and then the death doula's, either their level of comfort or what the restrictions are based on either, from a governing body or for the agency that they're working for, or if they're working for themselves, then I guess they get to make those determinations. But it's complicated.
Oh, yeah.
And tragic. It has thrown a wrench in this process that we were really working, so many people were working hard at bringing back into the home to empower individuals to die in the way that they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And so it certainly has made things very unclear, and it changes from week to week. I mean, right now, people who are in facilities, my grandmother is in an assisted living facility, and she's on hospice. She's not actively dying or near death, but we're not able to visit with her. My dad is having to visit with her through the window.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when the time draws nearer, how is that going to look? It depends on where they are and state to state and what the rules are at any given time. Just here in Oregon this week, the mandate was placed that there were no visitation for nursing homes or facilities of that manner. So it certainly changes things.
Oh, yeah. Definitely makes it a lot more difficult to honor the dying person's rights or desires and all that. So I could see where, you know, you're kind of barking up a tree that you might not be able to reach, and it's really unfortunate because there are those who find this process a very sacred one. And whether you pass away all by yourself in the middle of night, which is a common thing that could happen, or if you're able to plan it out to the detail of being able to have your friends or family around you to give you that comfort that you could pass on, knowing that you said goodbye and they've gotten their goodbyes, and you've reached a level that you feel that is that sacred moment that you were looking for. And unfortunately, with the issues of today, we kind of have to skate around that a bit. So it can be a situation where I imagine, even though the hardest work that you've done to make plans might not be able to be exactly honored in the way that the person would want it.
Right, right. Yeah, it feels like what COVID has most distinctly impacted is our ability to hold rituals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, humans have engaged in rituals from the dawn of time to mark significant moments in their lives. And I mean, essentially, these rituals are acts of intention that promote awareness and, you know, direct that conscious energy into an activity. And rituals give events that we're experiencing deeper meaning and inject a sense of purpose. And what a person experiences during a ritual can be held and revisited whenever needed, no matter how simple they are. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's a phrase that you're repeating back and forth to one another, the significant aspect of any ritual is going to be the emotion that it evokes. Mm-hmm. As a symbol of the thoughts and feelings that are shared in a moment. And that's either being taken away because of the isolation,
mm-hmm.
or it's having to be rethought and re-envisioned in new ways that address the difficulties that COVID has impressed upon us.
You know, it's definitely a difficult circumstances, and we're all trying to work our way through it as best as possible. Now, if you had the opportunity to be able to conduct a perfect situation for a client, what would mm-hmm. that look like, or what would you suggest to be something that they consider or do in this process?
You know, I have my ideas of what I would like mm-hmm. when my time comes, but you know, the best case scenario or the best outcome is going to be the fulfillment of whatever it is that individual wishes. So just to give an idea, I mean, it depends on where people's comfort levels are, right? And
yeah.
how engaged they want people to be, or how engaged their loved ones wish to be. You know, something that I have seen and experienced as profoundly meaningful, just to give an example, is I think specifically the rituals involving either like pre-death and post-death. So for some groups, ceremonial washing of the body, either in its entirety or specific body parts such as hands or feet,
mm-hmm.
it can be washed and anointed by loved ones. Yeah, this beautiful ceremony that I witnessed was the ceremonial cleansing and moisturizing of the dying person's feet and her hands and face by the women in her family.
Wow.
And then after she died, they followed with additional ceremonial sprinkling, and it was so deeply meaningful and profoundly
wow.
transformative for the people involved, including myself, who was just there as a witness. So those are the kind of things, when there's intention, when there's thought and intention placed in the planning. And then don't get me wrong, things go sideways.
Yeah.
And unexpected events happen, or someone progresses faster, or something might emerge that, you know, wasn't in the plan.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So, you know, one of the things that the death doula or myself as a counselor is going to be able to be present to whatever it is that's happening, to
very
help
good.
Be
yeah.
a grounding and centering force to, and that's why I keep saying to the best of our ability within the circumstances is to adhere to the plan
mm-hmm.
As well as we can, and be flexible and open to experiencing what's happening, however that looks.
Well, with it being a different process for every individual and for their desires, and just the natural fact that it could go different than expected, having somebody like yourself would definitely feel like there's someone there to go to or to look towards if there is any questions and all. And we are coming towards the end of our conversation. Maybe if it possible, you could give us a phone number or an address in case somebody was interested in asking more questions about this.
Absolutely. Thanks for asking. So if anyone is interested in follow-up conversation or just engaging this or a death doula, I can be reached at amymay@whitebergclinic.org, and that's A-M-Y-M-A-Y, amymay@whitebergclinic.org, or my phone number is area code 458-215-1170.
All right. Well, again, we've been speaking with Amy May, and she is a death doula, which is something that everyone is eventually going to have to consider possibly in life. So if this is something that you have questions about, maybe you can give her a call and get a little bit more comfortable about a situation that could happen to you or your loved ones. Thank you, Amy, for calling us today and talking with us about this very important topic.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity. I believe that dying is a most sacred act and rite of passage and deserves the highest level of care and attention. And so being given the opportunity to honor an individual's transition from this life, it's such a privilege. And I thank you in allowing me time to talk about the work.
Well, I thank you for talking with us and giving all of our listeners a little bit of a heads up and education on this process. Thank you, and thank all my listeners for listening to KXCR 90.7 FM, your relevant radio station.
This has been KXCR Conversations with you, a regular feature here at KXCR. Having a conversation is easy. Call 997-5252. Email info@kxcr.net. Or visit us at the station across from the library. Our combined history makes our community. We all have the energy and power to do good things. Organizing and energizing ourselves is a great step in conversation. This is Community Radio, KXCR, Florence, 90.7.